How is everybody today? Woo! Bless the Lord. All right. All right. Before we get started, I'm not going to raise the Bible and do all that, but I may shout hallelujah, and so let's just get things over with. I've been up playing the piano. I'm not nervous. I've got the pit stop going on, and I'm just going to get that out front so y'all don't worry about me, okay? I'm not nervous. I'm calm. I'm comfortable. I'm just playing away to the Lord up there, so, you know, that's just what dark shirts do. You guys know me. I usually just find out after the fact, so I'm letting you know I'm aware of that. All right, we've got a few slides I want to show real quick about God and the bottom line in the workplace. Andrew, if you've got those ready, we'll look at that real quick before we start. Maybe. There we go. In case you need a translation on that, that's really talking about the way we live and our actions. Hey, good to see you guys. You snuck in on me. Preach the gospel always and when necessary, use words. That's the way we live. That's the way we are the words we use, all those things. Andrew, you got all those running? Just run one after another. That's fine. Of Jesus' 132 public appearances in the New Testament, 122 were in the marketplace. That's the workplace. That's out in public, not in private. Of the 40 divine interventions recorded in Acts 39, were in the marketplace. Again, we're talking about the workplace. We're talking about not in private, but out in public where we work and where we interact with others. If someone were to ask me right now, where do I sense the greatest potential for revival, I'd say in corporate America. Dr. Henry Blackaby, corporate America needs revival. They need God in the workplace there. Jesus spent his adult life as a carpenter until age 30 before he went into a preaching ministry in the workplace. He worked for a living before he was a preacher, just like our pastor. Jesus called 12 workplace individuals, not clergy, to build his church. He didn't go to the Pharisees, didn't go to clergy. He went to 12 working individuals and said, I want them to build my church. I want them to build my church. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 34, verse 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Today we're talking about, Pastor Jack wanted to talk about God in the workplace and God in the bottom line. He'd heard about some work experience I talked about. And so today's message is talking about being about our Father's business. He wanted me to give a brief history. We could tell stories about God in the workplace and stories of business leaders or businessmen in the Bible. We could talk about David, Moses, Job, Noah, all these people. Today we're going to talk about Adam, and it's not Adam and Eve. Unfortunately, it's Adam Dilley. We're going to learn about the story of Adam, and it's not in your Bible. It's just right up here on my paperwork. But they all have the same result. When we use God and when we go through God, things happen, not through ourselves and not by us. I was telling Kisha today, God will move in spite of us. And He will make things happen in spite of our actions to the contrary. We'll be hopping all over today in different verses in the Bible, so please get ready to hop back and forth. But we'll just have three key points today in that. Pastor Jack asked me to give a brief overview of our work history. Most of you know I work for Garden Ridge. I'm the general manager of Garden Ridge. It's way out on the opposite end of town at I-40 MacArthur. I was a district manager for about half a year, and now thankfully I'm back in the store, but I think I'm working harder back in the stores than I was as a district manager. I left last Sunday after church and got back last night from being in Omaha for a week. We're opening a new store there. There's opportunities abound, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But he wanted me to talk about where our sales were, and our sales were about, we had about 45 stores in the company at one point, and our sales were around 20th to 25th. Always right there smack dab in the middle of everything. Never up high, just down low. And doing well. I've been the general manager for the last almost four and a half years now. And in that time, we've moved up little by little. The last, not including last year, but the 3 years prior to that, we finished up 12th and 13th in overall sales in our company. So we moved up almost double where we were. But the interesting thing was, we were the third most profitable store in the company. There were stores beating us by $500,000. One store beat my store by $1.5 million, and we were more profitable than them. Talk about being good stewards of our money. So we have to be faithful in our money. Our company went through bankruptcy about 5 years ago. We closed several stores, got down to 35 stores or 33, something like that. So those numbers shifted a little bit. But now we're back up. When we open our four new stores in the next 2 and 3 weeks, we'll be at only 43 stores. But we're talking about multi-million dollar stores. And in the multi-million dollar stores and going through bankruptcy, and now we're dealing with, oh, the economy and retail is down, 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 da-da-da-da-da. Well, my sales have been going up, up, up. And he said, well, why do you think that is? People in my corporate office, what's different about your store than my store? And the only, and this just happened, really, the big increase just happened about 4, maybe 5 months ago. And the biggest increase started happening when I walked into my store and I walk up and down my 140,000 square foot store, and I say, God, just use me today. Use me today to benefit you and to glorify you and magnify you. Let me turn my store over to you. Let me turn myself over to you. And when that happened, within 2 weeks of that time, really it was about a week, but I'm giving it 2 weeks just in case. Within a 2 week period, my sales immediately began to skyrocket. And I don't mean go up a little bit. I'm talking about skyrocket. We went from 12th place year to date so far this year into, well, we moved up to 8th place and then 7th and 6th. We're currently in 4th place, knocking on the door at 3rd place. And it's not about numbers, and this has nothing to do with Adam Dilley. He just wanted me to give a brief overview of why I think that is. And when my corporate people said, I said, well, I'm a praying man, and I've prayed over my business. I've prayed over myself being a good manager there. I've turned myself over to God there and said, God, use me. Let this be your building and use me. I have prayed over my managers in my store, my associates in my store. I have prayed over the people that run our company. I've prayed over them and their decisions. When I came back last night, and so I believe that to be our sales. That's also an opportunity to let other people know I'm a praying man. I'm a Christian, and I pray over my business. To do this, Jack wanted to put Garden Ridge and wanted to put some statistics on there. And I said, let me check with my boss first. You know, we're particular and we're private. We're a privately held company and we're private about our numbers and all that. So I said, talk about what you want. I called our vice president. She said, go for it, just don't give any specifics. So I won't give specific numbers. But, you know, she said, you can tell them you're up $500,000. Actually, we're up 600 and some thousand. And that's a big increase for a small store. We do about $12 million a year. And again, that was a so-so store, and now we're moving up little by little. But that's just a brief overview of Adam Dilley, where my stores come from. Now we're going to talk about the important thing. Where does God fit in all that? Where God fits in all that was, like I said, I was in Omaha for the last 7 days. We had approximately 50 people we had to run, and out of that, I had the opportunity to be a witness to every one of those. And there's signs, there's bumper stickers. We have a poster, I think, in Ground Zero says, it's not about the jewelry. And it has a cross hanging. And that's right, it's not about the jewelry. I've got a little wooden cross. We got a bag of those. Probably cost a nickel for 100 wooden crosses out of one of those magazines or something that we handed out at Falls Creek or Choir of the Fire or somewhere. Anyway, so it doesn't matter how expensive it is. It doesn't matter whether it's gold. It doesn't matter whether it has diamonds hanging off it. My little cheap cross that I wear every day is my sign. And that's my silent sign. You know, just like that. It says, be a witness. Use words if necessary. Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary. And I use that cross as just my silent sign so people can see I'm a Christian. When I used to travel as a district manager, I went to the Little Rock store, and a guy at Avis, my second trip in there, said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. Why do you ask? And he said, well, I just noticed last time you came in you had a cross, and this time, and it's bigger than your shirt, but you always make a point to wear it outside of your shirt. Except today. He said, you always make a point to wear it outside of your shirt. And I said, well, that's just my sign and my symbol, and it's a reminder to me so I can see it dangling all day long so I don't hide that thing. And if anyone has a question, they may say, that's a Christian, I can talk to them. So we started talking, and he gave me some input on a good leadership Bible and different things, and he talked to me about churches here in Oklahoma City that he had heard about. So it's a silent witness that I choose to wear. While I was down there, I had the opportunity to impact 50 people just by being a witness for Christ. And one morning I said, we have morning meetings. Actually, we had several throughout the day with all our new groups. And during that time, you know, Pastor Jack sometimes says, all. Everybody say all. And that's what I used in our meeting. I said, we have to throw all our trash away. Say all again. And that's what they did. And I said, can I get an amen? Amen. And that's what they did. I said, sweet, this is going to work on Sunday. And I said, I'm preaching at my church on Sunday, and I got to talk about God in the workplace, and you guys just helped me out there. Boop, just a little drop there that I used to let them know. By the time I left, I had the opportunity to pray over a young lady that said, I wanted to ask you to pray over me. She said, and I wanted to ask that your second day here because I just thought you seemed like that type of a person. I hadn't done my little amen all and all that stuff. She just said, you seemed like someone I could go to and ask for prayer. So I had the opportunity to pray for her and things going on in her household. And then I found out, well, she plays the keys at her church and sings in the praise band there. The general manager of that new store, he plays drums. He said, gave me a water key and said, kind of reminds me of a drum key. Looks semi-similar, right? And he said something, and I said, oh, I used to play drums back in marching band, but it was just a bass drum, no big deal. I said, I'm really a clarinet player. And he said, oh, I play the drums. And I caught, and I said, you still play the drums? He said, yeah. And I just looked at him, and I said, you play in your church band, don't you? And he said, yeah. He didn't look like a rock and roller. And he plays that. So we were able to talk with a few people, pray over his new building, pray over his new business, just by little opportunities, and we don't want to miss the opportunity. And we're going to get to the scriptures here in just a minute, but opportunities to touch every person I came in contact with by being a witness. And that's what we need to do. We need to be ready to do that. You don't have to flip here necessarily, but I'll flip to a few scriptures. I'll just read and let you guys catch up later, but you'll know this one. Luke 2:49, just a brief statement real quick. This is about Jesus talking to his parents. Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And that's what we must be today and every day. We must be about our Father's business every day. Every day we have to be about our Father's business. When we walk down the aisles of our store, when we walk through our businesses, and we may say our business is struggling, we may say the economy is not good for my business, I guarantee if you do your business and ask God to come in there, He's going to help prosper your business. Okay? Or He's going to talk to you and say, this may not be the business for you. Sometimes God will talk to you and say, it's time to step out and get into another business. But we have to start getting to be about our Father's business each and every day, not on Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings here at the church. Our two key verses we're going to look at are Matthew 6:33. And I know Pastor Jack has talked on some of these about characters of a champion. Traits of a champion, run to win, they give no place to distractions, and they have laser-like focus on their target. And some of those will definitely come into play for God in the workplace, God in the bottom line, and being about our Father's business. Matthew 6:33 simply says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Then the second verse that's going to tie into that is going to be Colossians. And you may just be getting there, but that's fine. We'll get to it, and we'll flip back and forth on these. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 24. And again, these should be verses you're familiar with if you're in church, but if not, these two things are two of the three things that come into play every day when we're being about our Father's business. Verses 22 through 24 in Colossians chapter 3. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of the heart, fearing God. And then here's the key line, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as though unto the Lord and not to men. We have to do the things we do unto men. And then verse 24 says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll get the reward from God, not from man, when we do these things. So the first two key The first keys that I use every day are, seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we seek first the kingdom of God, then He's going to bless that. If we're seeking first the kingdom of man and the things that man wants, and we walk around waving our banner saying, oh, look at all the stuff that I do, they're horrible. That's not going to work out well. And we're going to get to a scripture in just a minute. And I'll never forget my mother, who happens to be here today. My mother said, a long time ago, one of the lessons she taught me was simply, never put anybody down to make yourself look good. That doesn't mean others don't have faults, but never put them down to make yourself look good. The other thing my father said when we were 12 or 13, way back in Iowa, and I remember to this day, he read out of a book, and I've read it before, be the man on the white horse, one your company can be proud of. And that's a man or a woman. Just be somebody that your company can be proud of. If we're not seeking God first, how can we expect Him to bless it? If we're seeking what we want. If we aren't doing it as though unto the Lord, we're probably not doing it that well. Okay? And I have a store full of people that probably do it unto themselves rather than the Lord. And again, we don't have to flip here, but way back in Genesis chapter 2, that goes back to the beginning. Very, very beginning of the Bible. Then the Lord God took Adam, not me, the Lord God took the man Adam and planted him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. From the beginning, even in paradise, the biblical paradise of Eden, God said from the beginning, man must work. He set him there to tend and keep it. Proverbs is full of stuff about the lazy man and what he will and won't get, what he will and won't reap. From the beginning, God says we have to get out there and work and we have to be ready for it. God required man to do that from the beginning. When we seek first the things of man, go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. We're going to read verses 13 to 18. And again, a lot of scripture reading. But a lot of these things tie together when we're talking about God in the workplace and what He'll do to bless our work and what He'll do to bless our bottom line. James 3:13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. When we seek to do things for ourselves, God is not going to bless it. For there exists confusion and every evil in that thing. God has different plans for us. God has different plans for us. How do we know that, Adam? If we flip back to Ephesians 2, and if you want to write these down, I'll just read them. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Lots of reading, but very applicable. And that's what a disciple needs to do. Someone that wants to serve God, they need to get in the Word and seek the Word so they understand these phrases and where they apply. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 10. By grace through faith. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in His mercy, because of His great love, with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk with Him. God knew the stuff ahead of time. He knew the stuff He wanted to do. He has bigger and better plans for us. The scripture we read two Wednesdays ago at Ground Zero, and you don't have to follow there, but Jeremiah 29:11-14 says this: For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go to pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to a place from which I will cause you to be carried away captive. God has a bigger plan for us. He has plans for peace, plans for a future, and plans for hope. Whenever you feel depressed, read that, Jeremiah 29:11-14. Plans for hope, plans for peace, plans for a future. You may not be living in it right now, but He has plans for you to get there. You young people, if you start out in a business, you're not going to be the boss right off the bat. You've got to start out there. God has plans for you. I had plans for me years and years ago. They just didn't work out because I was working my plan and my time, and God just said, no, you're far from ready, boy. I'm pretty sure He said that. You're not ready. I wasn't ready. Until my heart got right to where I could do things in the right manner, God wasn't going to promote me at that point. When we try to do our business, we fail. We have to take the gifts that God gives us and be managers of those. We're all managers at that point. But we have to manage things. It's when we try and do things on our own, things go terribly wrong and we don't understand. In business, so often we hire people for what? Their skills and abilities. Rarely do we do character checks. But when we fire them, usually it's not for skills and abilities. Usually it's for a character flaw. I spent 2 months in December and January down in Houston, Texas, going down there to a store. They had some managers that they just didn't feel were right. Wanted me to go check them out. About 30 minutes into my day, I said, yeah, they need to go. It was pretty obvious. So I spent the next 2 months in Houston coming home on the weekends. And in those 2 months, trained a new manager, a guy. He'd been a district manager. He had come from another business similar to ours. He understood all that. He had great skills, great abilities. But there was something we didn't know about him, and that was some character flaws. And about 3 weeks ago, maybe four now, I got a phone call and said, I need you to tell me about this guy. I said, oh, what do you need to know? And I said, well, I need to know what you need to know about this guy. I said, well, I don't know much. Why don't you tell me what you're looking for? And this guy had some character flaws that affected his working relationship with females there. And I said, well, you know, I did see an issue when I first started there and when he first started. And I said, but I addressed it with him. And he said, oh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said that. And at one point he had a laptop. We have no business in our business for store managers to have laptops and to bring them into church. I'm sorry, work. To bring those into work. But on his, he thought it was amusing to have various pornographic movies and or pictures or whatever. And at one point I was at his desk trying to do some work, and we were there with the other managers, and he was opening that up, and two of the managers were female, and he showed it to them and spun it around, and I looked at it and I looked down and said, I don't need that, and I went back to my business. And I could tell by the way I responded that he was embarrassed at that point. He knew I was a Christ follower. He knew I was a Christian. He professed to be one, but that certainly wasn't actions of a Christian. And I said, you don't need to bring that to work anymore, and you sure as heck don't ever need to show that to anybody again. Matter of fact, you probably just need to delete that. And the most humorous part he found in that he felt he should show me was the guy in the picture was bald, and so he thought it would relate to me. It didn't relate to me at all. And I just turned my head and said, I don't need that. And he closed it up. We have to be sure we don't accept that stuff and let that stuff come into us. We wasted 2 months worth of work training a guy that had skills and abilities but had character flaws and issues. Adam, I don't have character flaws and issues. You steal pens, paper clips, tablets, paper, do you photocopy, party at Billy Bob's house and print out 1,000 flyers at work and then go post them everywhere in the work paper and the copier? I don't know, is that integrity issues or not? If your company knows it and allows it, that's one thing. If they don't know and you just think, oh, they got enough money to do it, that's an integrity and a character issue. And you need to settle that. That's not really my thought. That's Joyce Meyer's thought. She said she used to do that at her job. That's how she knows people still do it, because she did it. Let me give you some statistics real quick while we're talking about integrity. Sales and Marketing Magazine did a survey and revealed the following things. 58% of the people that responded to it cheated on expense reports. 50% worked on a second job at a company where the first job was. They were working on business of the second job that they had. 36% pushed deals through, said they were closed when they weren't really closed, so they could benefit by getting paid for a closed account or closed deal that wasn't really closed. 22% listed a strip bar as a restaurant in an expense report. Probably 5% of those were corporate visitors this week. 19% gave kickbacks to customers. Integrity is taking a beating in our schools, in our workplace. It's even taking a beating in our churches. We have to get hold of integrity and character and bring that back into check. Integrity doesn't need to go down that path. Dick Halverson, chaplain of the U.S. Senate, said this, and I love this. There is a distinction between church work and the work of the church. Church work is what you do for the organized institution of the church. The work of the church is what is done between Sundays when the church is scattered all over the metropolitan area where it is located, in the homes, in the schools, in the offices, construction jobs, and in the marketplace. I thought that was pretty powerful. The work of the church happens when we leave here. From Sunday to Sunday, all those other days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, that's when the work of the church happens. When we're out there at school, when we're out there with our friends, when we're out there in our businesses, that's the work of the church. That's when it takes place, and that's where it is. And that's pretty powerful, because a lot of times we think the work of the church happens here Sunday between maybe 9 and 1. Maybe it happens on Wednesday nights also. We can get some work of the church done then. And we're not talking about the work of the church cleaning up and mowing. That's a very powerful and important part of the work of the church. But we're talking about what we do. Our hands and our feet. Our words to other people. We have the opportunity to affect people's lives every single day. Are we going to be a positive influence or a negative influence on their life? That's the work of the church. That's being about our Father's business. Jesus knew as a young man, he had to be about his Father's business. And he started that early. And then he still did work after that before going into ministry. First two points I brought up, and there's three. The first two, the first one is seek ye first the kingdom of God. The second one is do everything as though unto the Lord. And the third one, back in Jeremiah, that we read. You may have missed that. Let me get back to it real quick. Oh, I'm on it. Jeremiah chapter 29. You may have missed it. The third key thing that affects my business and should affect everyone's business every single day that will help lead your business. It says in verse 12, after he knows the thoughts for us. Verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you." We must go to God the Father every day and pray for our needs. But one of the things that happens a lot of times is we go in there and we pray for deflection. Rather than asking God to help us, help show us the way, for His direction, we're looking for deflection. God, protect me from. God, I sinned and did evil things. Protect me from the outcome of that. That could be horrific. We have to pray for God to say, God, show me how you want me to deal with this situation. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. And you will seek me, and when you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me with all your heart. So we're going to find God when we seek Him with all our heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Do everything as though unto the Lord. And then pray and seek Him. Seek His wisdom. Seek His guidance. Seek His direction. In the midst of all this stuff, I try to be very careful when people talk about the success of our store, never to promote Adam Dilley. And most of my upper management, they take care of that anyway. But we know it doesn't matter whether Adam's there or not, so we can afford to take him out of the store because he doesn't affect it. But that's just them giving me a hard time. I don't boast in myself. I try and think that I do a good job, and I'm proud of that. But I always try and give credit to my management staff, who's very good and qualified. I try and give credit to our hourly associates. I took one hourly associate with me. They asked for our best merchandiser. And I took one hourly associate with me, a young lady. And believe me, when I get back to our store on Monday, and I've already told her while we were down there, I was very proud of her and how she stepped up and became a leader in that role. Up till the last day when a group of them went out and got drunk and woke up late and we couldn't find them anywhere. But other than that, I won't tell the store that, but other than that, I was proud of her. I will give her credit for that. So we've got to give others credit, but I always try and tell people, especially when other managers ask me, what's the difference, Adam? Well, the difference is I'm a praying man and I turn my business over to God. I give my aisles to God. I give myself to God. I submit myself. Adam, a customer wants to see you up front. Every time I hear that, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I just walk up there, and as I'm walking up there, I'm praying to God, God, just use me in the right manner. If it's a complaint, God, let me just explain it to them in a way they'll understand. And I pray as I'm walking up there, God, help me deal with the situation. God, if it's a compliment, thank you. Bring more of those in. We like to hear those. I'm going to close with a story. Same thing I read to Ground Zero 2 weeks ago. And we have to be sure again that we humble ourselves. We have to be sure that we boast in the Lord. If we're going to boast at all, boast in the Lord. And I told him at Ground Zero, I said, man, I love Kierkegaard is one of my favorite people to read. And I said, not really. I don't even know how to say his name properly or spell it. I just came across this and I love it. And I want to think about this and I want you guys to think about this when I read it and see where you fit in this and see if this affects God in the bottom line, being about the Father's business in your life, and see if you're sitting on the sidelines. The difference between an admirer and a follower still remains, no matter where you are. The admirer never makes any true sacrifices. He always plays it safe. Though in words, phrases, and in songs, he is inexhaustible about how highly he prizes Christ Jesus. He renounces nothing, though, gives up nothing, and will not reconstruct his life, and he will not be what he admires. And he will not let his life express what it is he supposedly admires. We sang songs today talking about changes, talking about exalting Jesus Christ. Guys, we cannot go into our workplace, we cannot go into our schools, we cannot go into our community and our families and friends and tell them about this newfound love of Jesus Christ, and then let them see a horrible example and not live that. Because believe me, they'll sit back, scratch their head, and say, I keep hearing about this change, this life change of Jesus Christ. When's it going to happen? When will I see evidence of that in you? When will your words and actions reflect what you're telling me? Just like he said, he always plays it safe. Though in words, phrases, and songs, and that could be on Sunday mornings, may or may not be the case in here, but it could be. Though in words, phrases, and songs, he is inexhaustible about how highly he prizes Christ. We have people that go up there and they'll pray and they'll shout. And again, I'm not talking this church specifically. I'm talking about in churches in America. And we do all these things. And maybe that's what we think the work of the church is. And then we forget it Monday through Saturday. I used to forget it driving out of the parking lot here. I've done that before. Or to pull out, the car screaming down the road. I'm screaming bloody murder at them. Tried to overcome that for the most part. Yet he gives up nothing, renounces nothing, will not reconstruct his life, will not be what he admires, and will not let his life express what it is he supposedly admires. If we seek first the kingdom of God, if we do everything as though unto the Lord, and if we pray about it, I don't see how God can't affect our bottom line. And when we do those things, we're about our Father's business. Let's put God in the bottom line. And as a church, let's commit to being about our Father's business every day, every day, every day, and start doing the work of the church rather than doing church work. Can we do that? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you today for the opportunity to preach your word, for the opportunity to teach your word, to read your word, and to learn your word. God, we just ask you today to show us the bottom line that you want affected. God, help us to understand the steps to get there, the obedience required for that. God, help us remember in our successes each and every day, no matter what we do, God, whether it's the success of learning, the success of teaching, the success of doing, God, let us boast in you. Let us boast in your name. God, keep us humble. Let us enjoy the successes. Let us experience them, but keep us humble. And again, let us praise your name in the midst of those things. Let us not curse your name, God, when things go wrong. Just keep us obedient. Stay the course. Today, while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, maybe today you find yourself in that statement saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. I proclaim His name. I sing His praises. I exalt Him. But I'm not willing to make a life change. I haven't been willing to make a life change. I haven't been willing to reconstruct my life. I haven't been willing to give anything up or change anything in spite of those things that I claim. I'm merely a Christ admirer and not a Christ follower. If that's you today, you know Christ, but you just say, I want to be a Christ follower rather than an admirer. And today's the day I want to change that. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand?